This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Firstly, apologies to those who are trying to connect up. Well, if they're probably not looking from Facebook, we've lost the connection for Facebook. But anyways, YouTube connection is there. So I'm going to carry on, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my brothers and sisters. We're here for the final session of the 99 names of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we're here to finally look at those names that we're supposed to connect up with Allah Azza wa Jal through these names. And these are the final names, yes, but these are names that don't complete all of Allah's names, like I've mentioned. Allah Azza wa Jal has many, many, many different names. And from his many names, there are so many others in the Quran, so many others in the Sunnah. We find that there are many other names that we can connect up with Allah Azza wa Jal, but these names have particularly come in one narration. That's why we're covering them. So we come to the name of An-Nur. So Nur meaning light, but what it actually means is Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. What that means is that Allah is the giver of light. So we don't imagine Allah as light. What we think of is that Allah is the giver of light. And this light is in both senses, whether it's in a literal sense or a metaphorical sense. This light is... Now, Allah Azza wa Jal, he's given light that is there for us to see in the daytime through the sun. And Allah gives us light in our hearts. Okay, Allah gives light in our hearts, and that light is also something which we need, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given, he's made du'a to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he has asked Allah to give light in his heart, in his body, in his different parts of his body, in his hearing, in his seeing, and these are du'as that we can make. That we want Allah Azza wa Jal to put light into every part of our bodies and to make sure that we are those who find connection with Allah. Because what light metaphorically means, look, if we say light in our particular hearts, it doesn't mean that if you were to open the chest, you'd find light there. It's a metaphorical thing, which means there's cleanliness. So our whole limbs and our whole heart and everything that we've got in our bodies is clear of clean of sins, because sins are the things that cause dhulumat, they cause darkness. So Allah Azza wa Jal has given us an opportunity to call him through this name, Ya Nuru. And this name, if you look in the Quran, in Surah number 24, Surah An-Nur, you'll find there that Allah Azza wa Jal has put his name, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, in the midst of so many things that happen. What's happening there? In that surah, there's so much talking about zina, talking about fornication, talking about accusation of people committing zina. It talks about how we should keep segregated, in our relationships and so on. And then Allah says, he talks about this giver of light. What does that mean? That means that Allah Azza wa Jal gives us light, or he gives us this beautiful way of connecting up with him. How? When we listen to what Allah has revealed in the Quran and the Sunnah, and when we follow Allah's rules, and when we abide by what is said in terms of our relationships, in terms of staying away from zina, in terms of not corrupting our eyes with sins, then a person immediately can feel this connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. So that nur and that light is given to those who are not necessarily getting into a sinful life. Okay, they're not getting into a life where they're continuously sinning, or they're making they're continuously going into an area of life where they are disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. Staying away from that gives us that light. So that is An-Nur. The next name we come to is Al-Hadi. Now, Al-Hadi is the guider, the one who guides. And there are many ways that Allah Azza wa Jal, he guides us. In our simplest form, we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. We ask Allah to show us the straight path. Okay, we ask Allah to show us the straight path. Now, that straight path that we're asking Allah to show us is not literally a path, but it's a way of life. And that way of life is the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Anbiya. We want to be on that pathway and we want to go to Jannah. Okay, so it's a way of life. It's a way that we conduct our lives. But there are many other ways that Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives us hidayah. It's not just giving us hidayah in the deen. I know a lot of us, we use that term and we say, hidayah is when Allah guides someone to the deen, He guides them to the religion and so on, He guides them to the truth. But there are many other forms. For example, when a baby is born, or even when an animal is born, or hatches out the egg, how does that animal know what to do next? How does that baby know that it needs to drink milk? How does it know that? Why is it that it actually sucks and it drinks the milk? Why does it have to? Because this is all hidayah. When Allah Azza wa Jal, He creates, through the bees, He creates honey on the earth. That is hidayah. It's hidayah of the bees finding that honey, knowing where to find that pollen and so on, knowing how to create the honey. When Allah Azza wa Jal, He will guide so many, others through different means of knowing exactly what to do, this is all guidance. We have several different layers of guidance which Allah gives. And those guidances that Allah gives, sometimes He makes a person coincidentally go to a place where they find what they wanted to find. It's just the right time, the right place, and so on. Sometimes a person will find that, they want something from Allah, which they never even ask for, and Allah gives them guidance. So there are many different forms of guidance. So Allah is Al-Hadi. Now, if a person wants to connect with Allah through this name, especially if they want to be guided to some matter that they, let's say, for example, you want to do something, you don't know whether to do it, whether not to do it, or how to go about doing it, then the name to use is Ya-Hadi. Yahadi, 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 O one who guides, O one who guides, and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla through that name. We come to a part where we need to reflect on this particular name and think, Subhanallah al-Azim, we are Muslims, those of you listening to me, Allah has guided us. And that deserves a massive shukr. It deserves a massive thanks. And since we're guided, guys, let's take advantage of what Allah has given to us in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Because there are many who are not guided out there, and there are those who get guided, in terms of coming new to Islam, and they find everything so fascinating. Yet we've got everything on the plate, yet we can't be bothered to take full advantage of what's right in front of us. So if you appreciate what Allah has given, then take advantage of it and show Allah the thanks by doing the things that we're supposed to do. Because Allah, the Quran says, وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. Whoever turns to Allah, Allah guides them. And there are so many ayahs to say that when a person actually makes that move towards Allah, Allah gives them even more guidance. Allah even, pushes them even more forward. When a person moves back, Allah, leaves them back. So when the Sahaba came to the masjid and, they were at the back, not coming forward to fill in all the rows, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a comment to the nearest words of whoever comes forward, Allah moves them forward, and whoever stays back, Allah keeps them back. Okay, man akhara akharahu Allah. Whoever stays back, Allah keeps him back. And man taqaddama, whoever comes forward, then Allah will move them forward. So that's the thing that we should think, that yes, we want guidance, but we want to move forward, and we want to get that closeness to Allah Azza wa Jalla through that mercy of Allah and through His guidance. Now, the next name we come to is Al-Badir. Al-Badir is the originator. So Badi'u as-samawati wal-ard, the originator of the heavens and the earth. He is the originator, meaning that there was nothing before that. There was no plan, there was no architecture, there was no blueprint, there was no idea, nothing. Allah Azza wa Jalla just wanted to do it as the originator of creating all of this out of nothing at all. Allah did it. And that is his name, Al-Badir. And Al-Badir is one who not only has originated everything, okay, not only originated everything, but he takes full credit for what he has done. That's how we recognize. That's why we call you Al-Badi'a, because you're the one who originated everything. You know, like when people have created, let's say, some idea, something, they copyrighted, or when somebody wants to get recognized for some quotation that they made, they want to, you know, they don't want to be recognized, they want to be quoted, their name should be quoted, and so on, because they originally created this thing. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has put his mark, you know, in the Quran, and he has said, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. And then he has said, not only has he given us all his light, he's badi'u samawati wal ard. He's the originator of the entire heavens and the earth. Meaning that, you know, give me recognition. And the full recognition goes to Allah for the existence that we've got around us. And that's how we recognize him through al-badi'u. Now, badi'u does come from the root word of ba, dal, ayn, which gives the connotation, you know, has the meaning also of bid'ah. But I'm not going to go into all of, you know, explaining bid'ah right now. I've got another lecture on the internet, Sufis versus Salafi and bid'ah. So if anyone's interested in knowing the definition of bid'ah and the different forms of bid'ah, then you can go to the internet. Just put Sufi versus Salafi and bid'ah and put my name there, or just put that there and it'll come up. Because there are different, you know, there's difference of opinion of how to approach all of that. But nonetheless, Al-Badi' is something, you know, we connect with Allah Azza wa Jalla, recognizing that he's the originator of all of this. And now we come to the next name, which is Al-Baqi. Now, Al-Baqi means the everlasting, the one who is going to be there forever and ever. And Al-Baqi comes with, you know, in contrast of those things that finish. So Al-Baqi means whatever he's got, he will maintain, he will retain forever and forever. Okay. Allah has said in the Holy Quran in Surah An-Nahl, he has said, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Whatever you've got will come, you know, will diminish and it'll come to an end. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. And whatever Allah has, it will remain, it will last forever. Meaning that whatever Allah has got in terms of his qualities will remain forever. That's fine. But the other thing is that whatever we've invested in the akhirah will remain forever with Allah. Okay, as long as, you know, we're doing the right things, we're not spoiling our actions and so on, those things will be there. In fact, specifically, a'mal as-salihah, which is good deeds, Allah said, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا. The everlasting good deeds, they're better in terms of a reward that your Lord will basically give you. So these are, you know, these are actions. Whatever actions we're doing, we should see it as an investment in the next life. Because we should look at it as we've got two banks. Okay, we've got two banks. One bank is in the dunya, one bank is in the akhirah. A lot of people are always, you know, bothered about what their bank balance is, how much they've got, where how much they're worth, basically, who else has got whatever, and how they compare with them, you know, have they got more, have they got less, and so on. There's always this thing in our minds, you know, what am I going to do with that money, my next plan, my next thing I want to buy, okay, whether it's a car, whether it's clothes, whether it's, you know, holiday, whatever you want to do. People have got plans what they want to do with their monies, and it's always on their head, you know, I want to have a healthy bank balance, especially for rainy days. Now, what about the akhirah? What about us thinking about the akhirah? We're going there. We're all going there. That's absolutely definite. We're going there. There's no one here listening to me that can say that you're not heading that direction. You can deny whatever you want on this earth, but you can't deny death. You can deny whatever you want on this earth, but you can't deny death. Because death is something which is absolutely, it's an absolute truth. Now, there are people on the earth, la ilaha illallah, who are trying to find ways. There are scientists who are trying to find ways of, you know, defying death or trying to live as long as they can. But it's futile. You know, people are finding anti-aging products. You know, in the past, before, people used to die of these plagues. And today we've got so many things, so many systems on the earth to try and prolong life and to save people from dying early. But in the past, when a pandemic came, millions and millions died. There was no way of just surviving, you know, that without mass deaths that happened on the earth. So in the past also, people lived till, you know, maybe 70, 80 and so on, and they were gone. And now you have people, you know, in certain countries, you've got the average death rate that has gone higher. But the question is, What's beyond that? Let's say you get all the creams and everything else, and you have anti-aging cream, and you have all the best fruits and veggies, and you have the best nutritious food, and your inside is very, you know, healthy. Okay, fine, it's good. Okay, fine. I'm not saying that's not, you know, good. But by the time you reach the age 90 and 100, how long more do you want to live? Seriously, if you ever get there, how long more do you want to live? By that time, I mean, your body's giving up, okay? Your joints are giving up, and mentally you must be drained. And with all your life and what you've lived with and everything you've seen and the new generation that you're seeing around you, you're probably going to be thinking, man, I'm better off in the grave than being here. I mean, even if it's nothing else, it's your health, my friend. So how long do you want to live? People have this fantasy, if I live above 100, a fantasy. What on earth? Why would you want to have that fantasy? My God, just get on with what the amal and the actions you're supposed to do. Do it quick. Get it into the bank of the akhirah, like I said. Get it into that bank. Just start investing as much as you can, quickly as you can, because as soon as death comes, who wants to stay here, man? Seriously, this is a downtrodden, stinking place. This world stinks. I don't mean literally it stinks, but it really has a bad stench in terms of how many people are messing around on this earth, how many people are, you know, cruel, they're dishonest, they're cheating, they're lying. You've got so many people who want to create bloodshed, who want to, who are racist, who are arrogant, who want to oppress others, control others, who want to amass wealth and do all sorts of things on this earth, right? You got so many people who do all sorts of things on this earth. Do you want to really live here for that long? Do you want to be like here for such a long time? What's attaching you to this world so much? What is it? It's got to be items, things, or people. That's all it's got to be. Either you love someone on this earth so much, or you love the things on this earth so much. And that's all it is. There's nothing more than that. There's nothing more than that. And there's plenty more things to enjoy in the afterlife. Plenty more. And all we've got to do is put our amal and our good actions into the bank of the akhirah. And Allah said, وَالْبَاقِيَةُ صَالِحَةً. These things will be lasting. They'll be lasting. So Allah will give back. Not only, when you have a bank on this earth, you put money inside there, and if you leave it, then you get interest. Okay, I'm not saying you should get interest, okay, something haram, but I want to give you an example for you to understand the concept, okay? So you put money inside there, and then you'll have an interest rate. You know, there's an interest rate, a halal interest rate of the akhirah. Once you've done one deed, you invested for the akhirah, to the akhirah, and if you've been able to keep it there, as in you haven't done something so destructive that Allah has wiped away your good deeds. So if you've managed to go to the Day of Judgment with a single deed, meaning you've got so many single deeds you've sent to the akhirah, and you came to the akhirah, you came to the next world, and here you are, lo and behold, you've got all of your actions in front of you. Allah says, "Man jaa bil hasana falahu ashru amsaliha." Whoever has made it to the Day of Judgment with a good deed, then for every single good deed, I'm going to give them 10. Minimum 10. That's now your halal interest for the akhirah. It's halal, subhanAllah. You leave some good deeds in there, it multiplies and multiplies. Now, 10 was a minimum. Allah can give up to 700. إلى سبعمائة ضعفٍ, if he wants to, according to hadith, either from 10 to 700. And he can give even more, according to hadith of Bukhari. And that's outside of Ramadan. Can you imagine? Inside Ramadan, it's even more. It's even more. So that's what we should be, concerned about. That's the investment that we want to make in terms of the akhirah. So that's Allah Azza wa Jal, his name Al-Baqi. Then we come to his name Al-Warith. Okay, Al-Warith. So Al-Warith is the heir, or he's the inheritor. He's the final inheritor. What does that mean? That means, look, everything we're doing right now is just going from hand to hand. Okay, that's all happening. That's all that's happening. I wish we all can wake up. My dad had something. He died. He passed it on to me. Okay, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna pass it on to my son or my daughter. Okay, now my granddad before that has something that probably passed to my dad, and that's how it is. That's how the world is. whatever you've got today, it's going to go into the possession of others. Either it's going to perish or it's going to go to the possession of somebody else. So let's say, for example, you've got money, that's definitely going to go to somebody else's bank account or somebody else's possession or somebody else's inheritance once you die. When you've got your items, your clothes and other things, then they'll be gone, as in perish after 10 years, 15 years, whatever, whoever's worn, whatever you've got, after that's gone. At best, someone's going to preserve it in some kind of closet or something for a few more years, or even better, they put it into some kind of museum if you're that archaic. They might do that, but what's going to happen after that? Your furniture, at best, is going to become antique and sold as antiques and stays for another few decades, centuries, whatever, on the earth, and it's gone. Gone to the next person, next buyer, next bidder that's going to take it. And what have you got? Nothing. What have I got? Nothing. Nothing from this earth. Everything's passed from one to another, one to another, one to another. Even land, think of it, right? People are dying today to try and get some land, some property, some big house, some this, you know, where even countries are fighting for, you know, governments are fighting for a new land or debated, disputed borders. They're fighting on that. And by the end of it, what happens? That land goes into another owner. Soon you might have a big war where we have to reshape the way the map is looking. I mean, if you look at the map in the 1900s, early 1900s or early 20th century, you will see that, you know, there were barely any borders, not as many borders as you can see. It was the European colonization, the British, the Dutch, the Portuguese, the Spanish, the Italians, the Germans, the Americans. And you know, when they went across the world and when they started to go and start, you know, they literally pillaged the earth, then they started to create borders, you know, certain languages, certain people, they created borders. This is mine. The Dutch said, this is mine. The Portuguese said, that's mine. And so on. Look what happened to Africa over the last 300-400 years, and Europe as well. So many different borders popped up, even Arabia, subhanAllah, so many borders came up, all these countries about, you know, Jordan and Palestine and so on. They were all like Asham. They were like, you know, it was Jaziratul Arab, or it was, Hijaz. Large parts were together for centuries and centuries. But what happens is when war comes along, then they get divided. So what happens is there's new owners, there's new land, there's a new culture, there's a new civilization, okay? And then it moves on to another and to another. What is there that is so lovable, that is so kind of crazy on this earth, that we must attach our hearts to this earth more than the akhirah? Nothing, my friend, nothing. Wake up, there's nothing. And in the end, Allah Azza wa Jal will be the al-warith. What does that mean? That as it's passing from hand to hand, you know, from land to one owner of a land to another owner of a land, and one property owner to another property owner, and carries and carries and carries, and right at the end, when it comes to the day of judgment, Allah takes it all back. And he just destroys it. He doesn't even take it because he wants it. He just destroys the whole lot because it was no use. The whole of all of this around us was there to see which one of us is going to do the good actions. So that's al-warith. So he's the final inheritor, final inheritor. Now, to live this particular name, I just want to say to you, please, if somebody passes away in your family members, amongst your family members, no matter how much they had or what they had and how much greed is involved and how, you know, lustful it is to try and claim that next piece, please don't take a single penny or a cent from anyone unless you've gone to a scholar. And a scholar has said, this is how your wealth should be divided. Don't even do this thing, okay, we're just going to do it all, you know, equal. That's not, you know, it's not up to you how you divide this. Al-Warith, okay, Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us how to divide this wealth when somebody dies. Who gets what portion? He's given exact proportions. And it's in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, from about ayah 12 onwards, you'll see Allah has given clear categorical, you know, he's given categories of people, of, you know, who you are within the family, within the, you know, next of kin, and what you get. So divide it according to that. Because if you divide it according to how you want, not how Allah wants, then you've taken haram money in. You've either taken haram money in or you've lost out on some halal money. So don't make that move of, I just want to make it all this, all, you know, how I want it. Go to a scholar and get it sorted out. And please, those of you who might have taken something in beforehand, please give that wealth back according to Sharia before you get to the Day of Judgment. Because I'm, you know, you hear these stories where, subhanAllah, father passes away, mother's still there, the house is there, then she doesn't, you know, she just gives it to one whole child or something, and others are deprived of inheritance, or she stays there, she doesn't know what to do, and then she passes away, and the brother, the sibling that was living with her, he just takes the house. He says, well, you know, it's my house. You can't just do like that. Yeah, you know, there's next of kin. There's sometimes, you know, what I want to say to you is that the inheritance hasn't been divided when the person, you know, one person passed away, and then a second person passed away. So the father passed away first, and obviously the, you know, your mother has a share of what he left behind. So your father passed away, and then your mother had a share, maybe an eighth or something. She never took her share, and then she passed away. And then you've got the next, you know, set of people waiting. Well, you know, be careful. Make sure that you do the distribution from that end, from your father's end. Sometimes three people have passed away in between. Sometimes a generation has passed away. They've not even done the proper Sharia, you know, sharing out of the inheritance. This is quite dangerous, because when you get to the Day of Judgment, there's a lot of questions to answer, and people who have taken haram monies will have to, you know, would have to pay with their good deeds on that day. May Allah protect us. The final two names that we come to, one is Ar-Rashid, which is Allah is well balanced and well, you know, he's got the target absolutely right when he makes his decisions. And when he has his approach towards us, he is Rashid, meaning that his decisions and his approach towards us is not only full of understanding, but it's also on the straight and narrow, meaning that it's right bang in the middle. There's no, you know, there's no inaccuracy in the way that he might do something with us on this earth. Nothing at all. Whatever he does perfectly well. So, you know, I want to say this, okay? A lot of people see chaos around us in this earth and so on. Whatever Allah has done and Allah has allowed on this earth, no matter how bad it might look, there's no blame to Allah. Now you might think, well, how is that right? But when we get to the Day of Judgment, Allah's going to explain. Because when we see the full thing of how and why Allah did what on this earth, that's when we're going to say, wow, I just never knew that. I just never knew that was the case. Wow, that's just mind-blowing. And we're all going to have our jaws dropping on the Day of Judgment, thinking that, you know, if I had known this before, man, I wouldn't have had those thoughts about Allah. Every person, doesn't matter if they're a kafir, they're a disbeliever, they're a believer, they're a mu'min, they're a, you know, munafiq, whatever they are, they will just say, this is absolute bang on, straight, you know, like as it should have been. That's how it should have been. Now, Allah would explain why chaos was there. Allah would explain why certain things He allowed on the earth, why there were, you know, natural disasters, why He allowed certain people to do what they did. Whatever it is, Allah will explain all of that on the Day of Judgment. So don't judge Allah before Judgment Day comes. That's what I want to say. Because Allah is Ar-Rashid. Everything is done very calculated. It's well spot on. It's done with the absolute, you know, it's right bang in the middle where it should be. Okay, that's him with his judgment and his approach towards us. And the final name we come to is As-Sabur, which is Allah Azza wa Jalla has so much forbearance for us. This is a beautiful name. Okay, we do a lot of wrong things on this earth while we're here. We're doing so much wrong again and again. If there's anyone out there who feels that, you know, I haven't done anything wrong, man, you need to check yourself again, because we're always doing something wrong. Something or another we're doing wrong. Now, if you feel that, you should know that Allah is As-Sabur, which is He has been very patient over us. And if Allah wanted, He could have taken us to task. You know, if Allah wanted to take people to task, then Allah would not, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ, Allah would not leave a single creature alive if He wanted to just, you know, take, you know, if He wanted to punish all of us. But He doesn't. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, He forgives a lot. And He is forbearant to the max. This is, if As-Sabur is in the form of مُبَالَغَة, which means that He is extremely patient over us and the mistakes that we're doing, and, you know, the things that we should have done, we haven't done. Allah is patient. So let's turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla through these names, and I'm going to ask you guys, Now that we finished the 99 names, look, it's only going to take you, even if you do one name a day, it's going to take you just over 3 months to learn all of these names. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that we can gain paradise by learning these names. And, you know, it's so easy just to learn them. If you just learn them bit by bit, just do it every day, look, every day, Ya Allahu Ya Rahman. Or just say, Huwa Allahu Ladhi La Ilaha Illa Huwa Ar-Rahmanu Ar-Rahim. Okay, Huwa Ar-Rahmanu Ar-Rahim. Rahman Rahim, Rahman Rahim. And you just carry on repeating that for the day. And then next day, just add one more. And throughout the day, just repeat all three. Wa Rahman Rahim al Malik. Wa Rahman Rahim al Malik. Right? And then, Wallahu Ladhi La Ilaha Illa Huwa Rahman Rahim al Malik al Quddus. And that day, just repeat all four. Allah, Rahman Rahim al Malik, and then al Quddus, which is five. Okay, carry on repeating that. Every day, if you add one, and then you keep on repeating that day, and you make dua through these names, look, maximum is going to take you probably about 6 months or 1 year. Even if you're really slow, that's, you know, you'll get it done. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to encourage you to not only learn these names, reflect on these names, bring these names into our lives, and let us make the best of what we can do with these names, inshallah. What I'm going to do is, look, I'm going to say simply tomorrow, look, spread the news, inshallah. Tomorrow, we're going to have a special session, same time. It's going to be the last time I'm going to do a online lecture this Ramadan. So it's going to be on Surah Qadr, Surah Bayyinah, Laylatul Qadr. What is this night? What will we get on this night? How will we recognize this night? How to approach this night? What to do on this night? What are the signs of this night? All of that. And, you know, in the last 10 nights, one of these nights is going to be Laylatul Qadr. So for us to maximize our ibadah and for us to do our best for this night, I'm going to ask you guys, tune in tomorrow, spread the news to as many people as you can, inshallah. I'll see you tomorrow, same time, inshallah, 6:30 p.m. UK time. Here, jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.